And if you would, take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You know, we sang that song just a moment ago, More Like the Master. And when we talk about Jesus Christ, what's the first word that comes to your mind about His character? What's the first word that comes to your mind? Anybody? Holy. That's a good one. What's another one?
Sinless.
Okay, very good. What's another one? What's another word that comes to your mind? Huh? Love. Love. And of course, 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is focused on love, on charity, Christian charity. And that's not just giving money to a cause. That's not what charity is. It can, that could be an act of charity, but it's not really what charity is. See, the devil likes to take and redefine things so we don't think about it the way we're supposed to. Yeah. You know, he takes and he will redefine things so we get the wrong idea. But if you go into the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says, Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Now, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the Word of God that we've read. And I just pray you'd help me now as I try to preach and teach. And Lord, help me to make it clear. Help us to see that which we need to see and understand that which we need to understand. And Lord, help us to be Christians. And Lord, help us to be have fervent charity among ourselves, for charity shall hide the multitude of sins. Lord, we pray that you would help us in that regard. Lord, use the Word of God, we pray, to change our lives. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when you a lot of times when people will talk about this chapter, they do it because it's in the context of spiritual gifts and of the abuses that the church at Corinth had of spiritual gifts and the things that they were doing. There's a lot of explanation about spiritual gifts. And even today, there's a lot of even taking the words of the Apostle Paul and twisting him into things that are not true. And you know, you go into the scriptures and you have people that teach all types of different things about tongues. They talk about prayer languages and they talk about different types of things and all. I mean, they end up talking about three or four different types of tongues in some cases. And that's not scriptural. But I'm not spending my time with that. But the point being is, the point they often miss is they totally ignore for a large part, the rest of the gifts of the Spirit that are talked about there. And the greatest thing is there's a large amount of ignorance on the place of chapter 13. Because it's talking about something that is central to the Christian life. It is talking about us being changed in such a way that we love like God loves. Notice what he says. And by the way, this first couple verses, three verses, are all rhetorical questions and rhetorical statements, and they have an answer to them. And the picture is, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And he said, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Now, when we look at that passage of scripture there, when he's talking about it, he's making a what you would call a comparison or a juxtaposition. He's laying them side by side, biblical charity or biblical love, if you will. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit and good works. You know, good works are important. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then it goes on to say, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So good works are important, but they are to be the result of salvation. They are not done to obtain salvation. And he says this, first of all, he says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Now, did Paul speak with tongues? Well, certainly he did. He said in this book, 1 Corinthians, he said, I thank God that I speak with tongues more than ye all. But in the church, he'd rather speak five words of understanding so that people could learn and be edified and grow. He said, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity. Did Paul speak with the tongues of angels? We have no place in the Bible that tells us that. Once again, this is rhetorical. We know that. He says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Did Paul have the gift of prophecy? Absolutely. Did Paul understand all mysteries? Don't know that, do we? Did he have all knowledge? Nope. I guarantee you he didn't. Only one that's got all knowledge is God, isn't it? Did he have all faith? Well, he was human, wasn't he? He still had the same sin nature. Came a time in his life when he said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? There's a time that he said that when he would do good, evil was present with him. Right? So we look at that, so we say that. He said, I have all faith that I can remove mountains, I have not charity, I'm nothing. So, we don't see any places where Paul had an egregious crisis of faith or anything like that. So we know that he lived by faith, and we saw God use him, and he learned to live by faith. But he learned to live by faith. And when he talked about trusting God for his needs, he said, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. So he had some learning to do, didn't he? So he didn't necessarily have all faith either, did he? And then he says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, did he do that? We don't know. And though I give my body to be burned. Did he do that? Absolutely yes. He was willing to die for his Savior. But he said, have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. In other words, the point is, you can have any or all of these things, and if you lack charity, if you lack Christian biblical love, if you lack the genuine love of God, it's worthless. Because charity, when we look at this and we read about this, charity, this is central to the nature of God. This is one of God's primary attributes, especially toward us. We revel in that, don't we? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, right? That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Right? God so loved the world. Isn't that the picture we see? We talk about the love of God, the love of Christ, which constraineth us. We talk about this. When we talk about all these things, this love of Christ that constrains us to care about other men's souls. The love of Christ constraineth us, for we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. That they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which loved them and died for them, right? We see that picture. The love of Christ constrains us. We see that. And so when he's speaking rhetorically here, he's not saying necessarily that he did all these things. He's taking the extremes and saying, if I have all this and have not love, profits me nothing. The Bible tells us we're to have fervent charity among ourselves. Scripture, Paul commends one of the churches, I think it's Thessalonica, but I have to go back and look at it. He talked about them turning from idols and serving the living God, and that they're having unfeigned love for the brethren. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. So we could spend a lot of time talking about that. That picture of love is throughout the Bible, is it not? I mean, we revel in it. We talk about it, the love of God all the time. And when we look at the Word of God here, it says about charity. It says charity suffereth long and is kind, doesn't it? And God is long-suffering to us, Word, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance, right? Amen. And he tells us, be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you, doesn't he? That's the picture there. Charity envieth not. We're not just to care about our own wealth, but also the wealth of others. We're to look to the things of others, not just ourselves. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ when he came. Behold my servant, my elect. What, he shall not cry in the streets or lift up his voice? A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench until he had sent forth judgment unto victory. When he stood before Pilate, as a lamb before her shearers is dumb, so openeth he not his mouth. We look at the Lord Jesus Christ and we see him. He's not puffed up. He didn't edify himself. God isn't puffed up. God doesn't even come down and say, I'm God, do it my way, or die. He gives us the Word of God. He doesn't force us. He didn't puff himself up. You know, God deserves to be worshipped. God deserves for every one of us to never say an untoward thing toward Him and to exalt Him the way we ought to. In the Psalms it says, ascribe to the Lord the glory, do His name. Well, we don't do it, do we? God just calls us back to Himself, doesn't He? Remember, Brother Elijah was there, and God was dealing with him, and he went and stood on the mountain, and there was a fire and an earthquake and a wind. And the Lord wasn't there, but what was there at the end of it? A small, still voice. We see that picture. The Bible says, knowledge puffeth up, but charity edifieth. Talking about love. Talking about God's, talking about genuine charity, what the Bible calls charity. All right. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own. Now, that's an interesting thing. What did God have to gain? Couldn't God? People always ask the question, don't they? Well, if you know, why am I a sinner? It's not my fault Adam and Eve sinned. Why am I a sinner by nature? Well, you're a sinner by nature very simply because you were born to sinners. Like begets like, right? And you always have the question, why didn't God just wipe out Adam and Eve and start fresh? Because of charity. He wasn't seeking His own. He was seeking their own. He gave them the opportunity to be saved, just like He gives people today the opportunity to be saved. Just after the years that I spent taking the name of Jesus and using it as a curse word and blaspheming Almighty God. Judgment's coming soon enough. God's going to make it right. But He sure did give me a heap of opportunities to be saved, didn't He? Didn't He give you a lot of opportunities to be saved? How many in here heard the gospel more than once before you got saved? Amen? Think about it. That's the love of God. That's charity. This is what we're supposed to have. God doesn't behave Himself unseemly. Seeketh not His own. Is not easily provoked. There's that long suffering again. Not easily provoked. The Bible says, great peace have they that love thy law. Nothing shall offend them. And do you spend your life offended by what other people do? Or do you see them? I've often said one of the biggest problems we have in dealing with things and forgiving one another is we don't see, especially dealing with the lost, is we don't see them as they are. You know, if I were blind and I was walking around, and I was walking through, and I stepped on your foot, you would probably look at me and say, well, he didn't understand what he was doing. He didn't mean to do that. He did it. But if I was walking down the aisle, and your foot was in the aisle, and I was looking at your foot, and I stepped on your foot, you'd take offense and get mad. Because why? Well, that obviously was on purpose. But you know, all our sin is on purpose. God doesn't deal with us in the same way that we would deal with that. And we need to learn to see people. We need to, especially a lost and dying world, we need to see them for what they are. Their hatred is not against you and me, it's against the Lord. And if He can be merciful and kind, then so can we, if we live in love. Think about that. He says, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. God has never thought an evil thought or a wicked thought. Everything He has no rejoicing. He doesn't even have pleasure in people that die from sin. I have no pleasure, saith the Lord, over the death of the wicked. God doesn't have any pleasure over the death of the wicked. God doesn't think evil. God doesn't sit there and think about them. God's not willing that any should perish, right? Who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth? God, that's God. He rejoiceth in the truth. We're supposed to do the same. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Our focus is to be there. That's a sign of love. Rejoiceth in the truth, and the truth of the Word of God, beareth all things. I mean, I could spend a long time with these and go through them in great detail. But I'm just trying to give you some things to think about. Beareth all things. You know, what does God put up with from us? What does He bear? He bears us in His bosom. Remember that old thing that people like to say, the footprints in the sand thing, you know? And the person gets to the end and says, I look back on my life and the hardest times of my life that it was only one set of footprints and I couldn't understand why You would leave me at those times. And the tagline on that is, my precious child, I love You. I would never leave You nor forsake You. In those times where You only see one set of footprints, it was then that I carried You. God, if we understand it right, God's there. He's a very present help in time of trouble. The Bible tells us about it. But you know, we're supposed to bear some things too. It tells us in the book of Galatians, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ, doesn't it? That's love. It tells us in the book of Romans, we that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, right? And why? Because even Christ pleased not Himself, but the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. There you see it again, don't you? There's that picture of loving one another the way we should. And He says, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. You know, it always amazes me when we look at what's happening. God sees things. And when God talks about faith, God knows everything, so it's not the same for Him. But we ought to trust that God knows everything, and what He says is true. So we ought to believe all things. Why is it that we have so hard a time believing God, but we'll believe somebody we don't even know? We'll believe a politician. We'll believe somebody on there. We have a whole culture of people that run at whatever the celebrities of our day say. They think it's gospel truth. Somebody says something on the news media, it must be true. And we know that, knowing all the while, they lie like crazy. But God never lies. And hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Remember that? Titus 1:2. God does not lie. So we ought to believe those things. And hopeth all things. You know, when the Bible talks about hope, it's not talking about a maybe. We say, I hope this will happen. I hope that preacher will stop preaching. I don't know, it might be all kind of hope that you have. You're saying, boy, I hope you don't go long. And it's not a sure thing. It's in doubt. But when we talk about the hope of the gospel, when we talk about the blessed hope and that glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, that's a sure thing. That's a certainty. Hopeth all things. Holds on to that. And that's why He says, cast not away your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. We're told about that. And then He says, endureth all things. We're told that we are to endure to the end. We're to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Right? So we look at all these things about the love of God, and everything that the Bible says about the love of God, it can be brought back to this chapter. And we look at this picture here. And this is what we're supposed to strive for. This is who we're supposed to be. This is the one, we're the people that are supposed to be able to take folks, and when they repent and come back, to forgive among ourselves and try to help them. But not just that, to be willing to go to them and say, hey, look, you know this isn't right. I love you. Will you, you know, try to persuade them to righteousness. We're supposed to provoke one another to love and to good works. And these are the things that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to love the lost, right? We're supposed to love holiness, love righteousness. Supposed to love the Lord. Our love for God ought to be the reason that we obey the commandments of God. Right? All the commandments are wrapped up in two sayings, right? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill toward his neighbor, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. If I love somebody, I'm not going to do the things that are contrary to the law to them. I'm not going to live that way. And the Bible says this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. They're not too hard. Talking about love. We need to be careful because, you know, when we get into that book of Revelation, as we're studying in Sunday school, those seven churches of Revelation and a pathway to revival, when we're looking at that, notice what he says to that first church in Ephesus. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee. Why? Because thou hast left thy first love. Important. Something to think about. Notice what he says, charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Alright? There's going to come a day when all prophecy will be fulfilled. And there won't be no more prophecy. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. You know, there's coming a day when everybody's going to speak the same language as it was at the beginning, before the Tower of Babel and God confusing the languages. When we get to heaven, nobody's going to say, how you doing? And the other one say, ¿qué pasa? Not happening. All going to speak the same. Whether there be tongues, they'll cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Won't have anything else to learn. It says we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am also known. Now, that passage of Scripture when it talks about that which is perfect is come, a lot of people say, well, that's the Lord Jesus. Other people say, no, that's the canon of Scripture. That's the Word of God. It's both. But I will say something about what God has given us of His Word. We don't have perfect understanding of it yet, do we? But we will. And down here, what do? We're supposed to rightly divide the word of truth. Study to show ourselves approved unto God. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Being a workman that needed not to be ashamed, right? So we're to labor to understand and do those things. This is something that we need to understand today. We look at the Word of God. We look at the love of God. And that is the love that we are to emulate. We look at the love of Christ. There were times because of His love, He had compassion on the sinner. You remember the woman taken in adultery? You remember the woman at the well? You remember the widow of Nain? You remember Jairus' daughter? You remember Peter's mom-in-law? I could spend so much time. Remember Lazarus? Look at the kindness of it. You remember him taking making a whip of cords and running the money changers out of the temple, turning over the tables where they made his father's house a house of merchandise. Remember his zeal? His love for his father. His love for the lost sinner. You remember that? Remember the love of God for you? And when we talk about love, Jesus is indeed who? He's the Word of God. That's His name when He comes back. Right? Revelation 9. His name is called the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. Love for man, love for His Heavenly Father. That's amazing. Full of grace and truth. And He says, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. You see, we start out by faith, don't we? We start out by faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. Right? And as we learn, we understand that we have a hope. We're looking for that blessed hope. The glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But as we grow, the idea is everybody is to be conformed what? To the image of His dear Son. And that is done through charity. Yet we have so many Christians in this day and age that cannot forgive, or not that they can't, it's that they won't. They won't obey God and forgive. Unkind, ugly. And it just amazes me that love seems to be the first casualty that we need to be aware of. I'm kind of previewing, by design, I'm previewing the next Sunday school lesson, but that once again, that church of Ephesus, they were strong, weren't they? They were a church that tried them that said they're apostles and are not, and found them false. They labored, they worked, but what was the casualty? Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Kind of like what Israel did. They replaced their love for God with the law of God, with the work of God. You can't replace God with the work of God. the greatest of these is charity. There will come a day when our faith will be fulfilled because our redemption will be complete. There will come a day when our hope will be fulfilled because we will be with the Lord and we will see Him face to face. So what remains? The nature and character of God, which is based upon His love, His charity. That which we're supposed to grab a hold of. How much charity exists in you today? Do we love as God loves? You say, well, preacher, I don't know that I'm that person. I understand that. But are you still trying to grow, or are you just sitting in one spot? You still being tormented and still captive to anger and hatred because you can't forgive or won't forgive somebody that's done you wrong? Do you use other people's wrong actions for you to be ugly to other people? Or even ugly to them? I mean, I could go back through all the verses and scriptures. I could spend a long time. This is a good study chapter. Just go all the way through. Take each aspect of it and look at, use it as a mirror and look at yourself. That's what we need to do. Because when we get to heaven, there's no more prophecies. There's no more learning. All right? There's no more tongues. Our faith has been fulfilled and our hope has been fulfilled. What's left for all eternity? The greatest is what? Charity. Think about that. Something we ought to grab hold of. Above all, having fervent charity among yourselves, it says in the book of James, why? For charity shall hide the or cover the multitude of sins. Just like God's charity covers our sins, doesn't it? What's the picture of God's charity? The blood of Jesus Christ. If you're here today and you're lost, you don't know Christ as your Savior, I've got good news for you. Christ Jesus, the Son of the living God, became the Lamb of God and shed His blood as payment for your sins, like we read in the book of Revelation today. Unto Him that loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. He shed His blood for our sins. He paid the penalty in full. And if you're here today and you don't know for sure, if you die today, you go to heaven. The good news is Christ has paid the penalty for your sins. And what you need to do is acknowledge that you need a Savior. Acknowledge that you deserve God's judgment for your sins. And then put your faith and trust in Him. Believe that Jesus died for you and rose from the dead. And simply by faith call upon Him. And the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. There's the picture there that you go and read in the book of Romans and several other places. But you say, preacher, I'm saved. I know I'm saved. I've trusted Christ as my Savior. My hope is entirely in Him. I know He is my only hope of heaven. And He's the only reason, the only one that can that could pay for my sins, the only one that can forgive my sins. He's the only one. My faith is in Him. And what are you going to do about the love? His love. Are you going to let it make a difference? We love him because he first loved us, right? And we're to be conformed. God saved us, and his goal is to conform us to the image of his dear son. And the easiest way and the quickest way to be in his image is through charity, biblical love, charity. I know we cringe at that word charity because it's been perverted so badly in this day and age. You know, it's encoded into our law. People make charitable contributions. They give to charity. And there's no love at all. No, this is talking about love. Not just an action. It's talking about something's in your heart. It's talking about something that's beyond just the human experience. It's a reflection of the nature and character of our God. To love God, to love people the way God does, to love righteousness the way he does. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll close out our service today. Father, you know every heart, you know every need. Lord, help us to love one another as you would have us to love one another. Help us, Lord, to love you as we ought to love you. And Lord, help us to realize that over all those things that may be out there that we possibly could do for you or because of you, the gifts that you give, the thing we need most is charity. If we have all those other things and have not charity, we're nothing. And it profits us nothing. So Lord, help us to have fervent charity among ourselves. If there's one that's lost, I pray they would see the charity of God in providing a Savior and see Jesus Christ as the Redeemer and Savior that they need, that they put their faith and trust in Him and be born again. Thank you, Father, and we just pray you'd bless as we go today. And thank you for the word of God. And Lord, thank you for the challenge to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.